let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Monster of the Sandbarrens, from fiction author Tony Karangi, is part adventure, part mystical. A story about what happens to a man who is volatile and destructive, pestilent and pernicious, too bitter in the extreme, and vain to abide his heart. A story about how nature heals itself. Tony was turned on to fiction writing as a child, as an adult pursuing studies in math, earning a bachelor's and a master of science in public health and statistics. He enjoys travel, spent 3 years in Rome, currently living on a sailboat in Miami. It's his first book, the must-read Monsters of the Sandbarrens. Tony Karangi with us on This Week in America. Tony, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Living on a sailboat. We have to do a whole program just talking about that. That's always been sort of like the nice way to live life, and that's how Tony's been able to do it. But we're talking specifically about the book today. Sandbarrens, am I saying that correctly?
Sandbarrens.
Okay, I got the accent in the wrong place. Sandbarrens. Let's talk about where the idea for this book came from. There's so many elements that you deal with in the book, and so well written. Where did this idea come from?
Actually, it came when I was living in Rome, and I saw a YouTube video of a tiger jumping on, attacking a man on an elephant. And that's where that little video is where the idea came from to write the book.
Well, it's interesting because as they go after the man-eater, the tiger, they decide to go off in elephants. And you explain there's a tactical advantage when they're looking, in this case, for the man-eater, to be up on an elephant.
Well, as I understand it anyway, as I've learned, is that they hunt in India, in Bangladesh, and they hunt tigers on the backs of elephants because they beat drums that the tigers find offensive. It hurts their ears, and they're able to literally herd them like cattle into a certain spot and surround it and kill it. So I suppose that's what they were trying to do to this tiger, but the tiger changed the script, and he attacked one of the men on the elephant, and I guess got away. I don't know, maybe they got him later, but I just thought, well, that would make a great story.
And it is a great story. We're talking about Monster of the Sandbarrens. Did I get the accent in the right place that time?
Sandbarrens.
Okay, well, I'm getting a little closer. It's a 20-minute interview. By the end, I should be able to get to that. I got to move the accent down there. In the book, we have this great chase, the man-eater I'm talking about. And talk about the damage that he's inflicted on the community. He's struck and taken, like, close to 400 lives. And the government is like, okay, now we've got to go out and we've got to capture this tiger.
Yeah. I think the story is, it's about the damage that the tiger does to humans, but it's also what the humans don't realize they're doing to the tigers.
Yes.
And more to the jungle and to nature itself. And this tiger is just a pushback by nature.
And I mentioned a story about how nature heals itself. We really see that unfold, don't we?
Well, yeah, from the tiger's perspective too, we don't really see we don't see what we do to nature. We don't see the consequences of our actions. We don't feel them. Nature does that. You know, where do the animals go whenever they build up a new development? They have to run somewhere. But in this story, I also understand that tigers don't really like humans in their diet. They really prefer not to have humans, but they confuse them with other types of prey. And I think I even had something in the book there where I mentioned that tigers only eat humans if they have to. There's just not enough fat on us.
It depends what part of the country here in the United States they go to. But yeah, that is true. They would rather not eat us. And we, of course, would rather not have them eat us. So it works both ways. But from the book, we're able to see this delicate balance and how that's how we sort of throw it out of kilter. And you think about that, because as a new subdivision comes in, we have animals and wildlife that have been there. that are no longer there, and they have to go somewhere. The book is Monster of the Sunderbahn. I get that? Am I closer?
Closer.
Sunderbahns. Okay. Sunderbahns. Okay. Make it plural, and we'll be there. Tony Karangi, our guest on the program. That's C-A-R-A-N-G-I. His website is Tony Karangi, C-A-R-A-N-G-I.com. Books available at Amazon. Information on the book as well available at his website. And you'll link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about Peter Harmon. Peter is a really interesting character who comes in and he sort of lives to kill things, and he's brought in to try to find the Man-Eater. This is a very complicated individual, isn't it?
He thinks that he has a lot of things figured out. That's how I see it. He thinks that he thinks he has things figured out, as maybe a lot of us do. And he learns, I think, he's ignorant. I think he learns a lot too late.
Yes.
And to his peril, he learns too late that things are a little different than they appear to be. And but yes, he's not necessarily a nice guy. Maybe you wouldn't want him living next door to you, but maybe he is the best or the worst of all of us. Well, but he certainly goes into the Sunderbahns after the tiger with a certain idea that he's doing the right thing.
Talk about developing that character and developing the characters that are in the book based on anybody in real life, you know, like a character like Peter, or just from your imagination?
Well, Peter Harmon comes from my imagination more than Satis, the old Indian guy. He reminds me of an old friend of mine in Atlanta. And we used to have a lot of conversations at the coffee house, and I dedicated the book to him. And that so that character does come from, you know, from my memory.
What was this process like for you in writing this book? This fascination with writing goes back to an early age. Well, let's talk about that. I understand this was a babysitter that sort of spawned this interest in you in writing. It took a while, got your college degrees, the whole thing, and worked in the real world for a little bit. But what was it that made you decide, okay, this is the story I want to tell?
Well, I had written only one short story, and that was by assignment many years ago on a compulsory course in junior college. And I hadn't written since. And so I don't know. That's a good question. Where did it come from? But I saw that, you know, I saw that video and I decided to write a story. And so I did. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was not hard to come by. The words just flew out onto the page. That was not a difficulty.
Did you start with an outline or just sort of a basic idea and went from there?
Yeah, no, that was it. I just went from a basic idea and went from there. No outline, no nothing. I don't know if it'll work that way every time, but I don't know if it'll work that way the next time. But it just went from an outline. It was almost like as if I were reading a book myself. Actually, so I say, let's see where this goes.
Well, it works for you. And so often you talk to writers and they have a very structured outline. They spend months working on the outline. And then get frustrated many times along the way because the story really isn't fitting into that outline. So I think there's merit, especially if your mind works in that direction, just to let it unfold as you're thinking of the story as though you were sitting there with somebody else's book and go from there.
Well, if you're doing it on your own, I think you can, you know. I left out that I did write for Financial Magazine at one time. And my job was to write, you know, technical things about stocks and bonds and those kinds of things. Well, mostly stocks, bank stocks. And I learned, people told me, and it was reported to me anyway, that I could make these boring things even seem interesting. And so by writing for that blog, so that's how I guess it was my segue into writing. And so that's how I tried. That's how I made a leap into pure fiction. But so my job was to take something that was very boring and make it interesting.
Well, in your story, you were able to take nothing there is boring, but everything is interesting, and you're able to take these other themes and sort of weave them in without hitting us over the head to think about these issues, this balance that I talked about. But they're very real issues, and you break them down, so it's something that's we can all relate to and enjoy as we're reading the book.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think there's... Peter Harmon, there's some, I guess the term wasn't around at the time, but when I wrote it, I guess toxic masculinity was, you could call him that.
Yes.
There's some of that there. As I say, but that's his, that's his crux. That's his, he has to figure that out, and he better figure it out quickly. I think the tiger has everyone figured out. It may take him a while to do it, but it's the tiger that figures things out. He makes some mistakes along the way, but eventually does figure it out.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think, okay, they're closing in, they're going to get the tiger, and the tiger suddenly turns course, and all of a sudden he's the one that's sort of on the offensive there. So it's interesting that battle that goes back and forth, isn't it?
Well, that's what I know about, that's what I know from nature channels and those things from tigers. When you're hunting them, they are also hunting you. They're very intelligent and they're very crafty. So that's even a normal tiger will do that. So I tried to play up on that. I tried to, make that battle, extend that battle even more and make it even three-dimensional. And even there, I don't know, even into the end, Peter Harmon still thought he was going to win no matter what. He could defeat all odds, and the Tigers thought that he was going to win. So it was just, I just had to figure out how that was going to end, what was a natural way for it to end. And I didn't even figure it out. It just sort of put itself down there.
Well, it makes for an enjoyable read. Monsters of the Sandarbans. You getting that better?
Sunderbonds.
Okay. Oh, geez. I was so close the last time. I should have quit there and not just spelled it out this last time. Sunderbonds, Monsters of the Sunderbonds. Tony Karanji with us on the program. It's an excellent read. You're also working on another series. Well, another book, which is a series. Talk about this, the Gladiator series. And this is, fiction, and it's in four books.
Well, right. Yeah. Four books or four different chapters. Yeah. Four different books. It covers four lifetimes of two people who meet and are reincarnated on their way to enlightenment. It is based on the astonishing principles of A Course in Miracles. The principle of A Course in Miracles is basically this, that the universe isn't here. And when I heard that, when it was explained to me that the universe isn't here, I said, that is exactly how, because I'm an atheist, but this was even better than that. This explained that the universe is an illusion. I said, well, that's just got to be true. So I began studying that. And I guess this goes a lot back to my, writing and the, trying to make, financial pages look interesting. So I'm taking a concept that's not mine and that's not fiction and trying to make fiction out of it.
Yeah, Tony Karanji, our guest on the program. His website, by the way, is Tony Karanji, that's CARANGI.com. The book is available, of course, there at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly. So how is that series coming? Are you close to publication with that?
I think I'm done with them. Actually, I'm done with them. I'm just doing revisions myself. I'm doing the first book is called The Gladiator. It is the second book is called The Infinite Loop. The third is Lost, and the last one is The Last Pope. And they take place over thousands of different years. So The Gladiator takes place 2,000 years ago. Infinite Loop takes place in the time of quantum computing. So there's a broad range of lifestyles. And yes, it's almost done. I'm just revising. Let's put it that way. I'm revising and still finding spelling and grammatical errors. But that's how close it is.
Well, looking forward to that series as well. And the book we're talking about, Monster of the Sundermans. Tony, I know if we talk long enough, I'd be able to get that, or at least get pretty close to that. Tony Karanji, our guest on the program. Who are some of the influences, some of the people that you like to write that you feel, boy, they really touch me. They take a subject, they make it interesting. I enjoy their style. Are there any that you would fall in that category for you?
Oh, I don't read a lot of books, believe it or not. Edgar Allan Poe, I guess, short stories. That's where I got started with. The first book that I think the most amazing book ever written was The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was the most, that was just the most amazing book. And of course, The Godfather. I mean, nothing to me. The Godfather The Godfather at least was something. Between Godfather and Exorcist, I don't know. But those are books that I feel like I need to read every 2 or 3 years. Lolita was a great read for me. The kind of book that made you think. Like when I put that book down, I still thought about it. And just now I finished with that. The Great Santini.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The Great Santini, which was another book. I put it down, but I'm still thinking. I'm not going to read it again right away, but I'm still thinking about it. So, you know, some books do that to me.
What's interesting, all of those, of course, were quite visual. They did movies. Your book is visual as I'm reading that. Any possibility you'd like to pursue making this into a movie of some type?
Well, I called the publisher. I said, I think it's already been done. There is a movie. I'm shocked. I think there's an Indian movie out there. It's about a hunt for tigers where soldiers go in, modern day soldiers, and they go in and they hunt for the tiger, which is I almost feel like it's plagiarism. But yeah, there's a movie. There is a movie out there that follows my outline, at least the trailer. According to the trailer, follows my outline completely. It even has the people who are trying to save the tiger, but instead of being a wise Indian man, that's it's a hot young girl who's trying to save the tiger. It's a modern thing. It'd probably sell better in the movies, but yeah. So I think so. I think it would be made. I think it's already been made into a movie.
Well, it's unfortunate you didn't get credit for it, or more importantly, a check for it with the idea, because I haven't seen it, but I like your story better. The way it unfolds, it's quite visual. It makes it such an enjoyment as you're reading it. The book is Monster of the Sundermans. Tony Karanji, our guest on the program, that's Karanji. His website is tonykarangi.com. You can link on to that directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Of course, the book is available at Amazon. Tony, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Look forward to touching base again with the Gladiator series. Thank you. Excellent job with this book. Looking forward to many more from you. Thank you for taking the time to talk about it.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
It has been a pleasure. Once again, the book, Monster of the Sundermans, Tony Karanji, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon.com, of course, at Tony's website. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.